I would like to also open our Bibles to Acts chapter number 19. We have read extensively in that place as we bring to a close today our series on Action Packed. I'm going to be reading just one verse, Acts chapter number 19, and I'm going to read verse number 20. Acts 19, verse 20. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. I'm going to also read from the NIV translation. NIV translation of the same verse. It says, in this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Church, we're going to do that together. I want us to just read that verse together. Now they're playing games and mean. Okay. All right. Let us pray. We'll come back to read that as soon as we finish praying, if it's available. Father, as we go into your word, thank you. Thank you for your word. The Bible says the entrance of your word gives life and it gives understanding to the simple. The word in here is not mine, it's not ours, it's yours and yours alone. On this very special day, we ask, O God, that you will breathe upon your word. Let this word, as it comes out, mix with faith in our hearts, Lord. Let it bring encouragement. Let it bring empowerment. Let it bring complete emancipation from the power of the enemy. Lord, I ask for that you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people so that, Lord, they will receive this word that comes from you, and they will receive it into the deepest recess of their hearts to bring a transformation, changing them more and more into the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray the same prayer for myself as the speaker. I ask that you anoint my tongue and make my tongue to become like the pen of a ready writer. Let this word drop as the rain and distill as the dew of the morning. Let it bring a change, a transformation completely. A complete transformation to us today so that we leave this building knowing that we have had an encounter with you, knowing that you have spoken to us, knowing that you have addressed the situation in our hearts. Thank you because you're going to do this and much more. As I speak, Lord, the Bible says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal when Jesus spoke. Lord, let the same power come upon this arena. Let it come upon your people. So that, Lord, your word, as it goes forth now, it goes forth with power, bringing healing, bringing deliverance, bringing salvation. Lord, let the word of faith go forth and bring a change in the hearts and the lives of your people, both present here and those joining us online. Thank you because you're going to do amazing things in our midst as we share your word together today. In Jesus' mighty name. And the church say aloud, amen. You know, the other time I read the story of a man somewhere in Mexico who survived for 438 days on the sea. So what had happened was he wanted to go on a fishing trip, two-day fishing trip. He called a friend of his to go and accompany him in this fishing trip. And then he went, but unfortunately, shortly after they got into their boat, they started having some troubles because the storm came. They lost radio communication, and before you knew it, they drifted away. They couldn't communicate with any of their other colleagues, you know, through the radio because the radio communication was already gone. They had thought that they were going to be rescued soon, but the first day turned to the second day, turned to the third day, and then the first week turned to the second week, and on and on and on like that. True life story. And they were there on the sea for 14 months, 438 days to be very precise. Obviously, all hope was lost. No one expected them to make it alive back. As a matter of fact, In the course of the this particular incident, one of them actually died. You know, the guy that was actually asked to accompany the other gentleman died, obviously of starvation, of dehydration. At the height of it, this man by the name of Salvador actually had to use his finger as bait. So he would put his finger in the water, draw fish, and then, of course, it's the game of who goes first, because if he goes first, he's able to catch the fish. If the fish goes first, he's able to chop part of his finger. Obviously, he wasn't expecting to make it out alive, but somehow, after many months, he came across this highland, small island, and he was able to, for the first time in 14 months, set his food on the ground. And of course, they were able to find out where he was from. There was a bit of language problem, and eventually, they were able to rescue him and get him back to Mexico. It was an amazing story, almost unprecedented in some sort, because nobody has actually gone that far into the sea and survived for 14 months. Think about that. Started the journey November 12, 2012, and was rescued January 29, 2014. So he had two Christmas on the boat, you know, just on a 25 feet boat, just drifting around, you know, on the sea. But he survived. And it made it into the news. As a matter of fact, not many people believed him at first because they felt he must have gone somewhere to hide himself. How come you are able to survive for that long on the sea? How come you have not been, you know, consumed by all those other kinds of, you know, shark and all those things drifting around? But later on, they discovered that he actually made it. As a matter of fact, there was an accusation that maybe he actually killed his other fellow guy in order for him to survive. And of course, he actually disputed that fact. The most important thing, like I said, was that he survived that particular trip. It was meant to be a two-day trip, but it lasted 14 months, 438 days. Today, I want to talk to you about something that has survived, not just for 438 days, not even just for 438 years. It has survived for longer than that. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the word of the Lord, the word of God. The word of God has not just survived for just 14 days, 14 months, not even for 14 years. It has survived over centuries. And the most fascinating thing about it is that it keeps growing stronger. It keeps growing stronger from one generation to the other. Atheists have not been able to mock it away. They have tried, but it still remains with us here. Kings have persecuted so many people over the centuries, but the word of God still remains with us today. Politicians have made several legislations to be able to snuff life out of the word of God, but it's still with us as we speak. College professors have been able to do so many explanations to explain it away, but this word of God is still with us today. Now, because of its ability to survive all kinds of harsh conditions over the centuries, it is simply unstoppable. It is simply unstoppable. It has survived all kinds of conditions over the centuries, over different kings, emperors, and rulers. It has survived different generations, and we are here with the word of the Lord. That's actually the summary of what Acts chapter 19, verse 20 talks about. So mightily grew the word of God, and it prevailed. And the NIV says, in this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Today, as we bring to a close the series we started several weeks ago that we have talked, we've called Action Packed, I want to talk to you about something I've titled, a message I've titled, Unstoppable. Unstoppable. I want to talk to you about the word of God as being unstoppable. And more importantly, I want to talk about why it is important for you to realize that and the benefits of making sure that you key in your life into the Word of God. Now, the Word of God has actually survived, like I said, many centuries. It has survived many hassles. It has gone through not just 438 days, not even 438 years. It has survived over the centuries. Not because the atmosphere has been conducive over the years, not because the people have been receptive, not because the government have been supportive, not even because the culture and the way of life of people have been in alignment in any way, form, or shape. But it has survived all the same. Why? Because the Word of the Lord is simply unstoppable. Now stop. Before you begin to think that there has been some support over the years for this word of God to survive, Luke, the physician who wrote the book of Acts of the Apostles, has written in this place the story just to give us like a tip in the iceberg of kind of the kind of problems that have confronted the propagation of the word of God. And that's what we've read in the story in Acts chapter number 19. We come to a place in verse number 23 or 24. So if you remember what we talked about, Paul had come into this place called Ephesus. We remember that he had met with certain people who he asked them, into what then have you been baptized? And they said, we don't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've only been baptized into the baptism of John. And you remember that he baptized them in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says they began to speak in other tongues. And then we saw the other time last week or 2 weeks ago, rather, that the power of the Lord was made available, that his handkerchief or his apron was able to bring healings to people. And so when we read that, we think that the word of God has actually survived, maybe because there was no opposition. But in this part that we have read today, Luke the physician is trying to say, no, that's not correct. That's not true. This gospel or this word of the Lord has survived over the years, not because there were no oppositions, but because of some other things we are going to be unpacking in a short while. And then he gives us the story of this guy. So remember, the word of God is now going forth. People have now we're now getting converted. People are getting saved. They are receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior, even in Ephesus. Ephesus, by the way, is today modern Turkey. So if you've ever been to Turkey, you've probably stepped into a place called Ephesus, the whole time Ephesus. And so the word of the Lord grew, and this was supposed to be what you would call the center of idol worship. They had several idols there. One of them is an idol called Diana. Your Bible translation may call it Artemis. It's the same thing. Now, so the word of the Lord was prospering, and people were converting, receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It got to a time that people actually began to burn their books, their magic books, and began to burn it. And as a matter of fact, in verse number 19, the Bible says that they burned something that was worth 165 years worth of a wage of an average laborer. That's the Bible actually calls it 50,000 pieces of silver. Why? Because people were convinced that they needed to get saved. People were convinced that whatsoever they were holding on to before they had the gospel was a fake, was irrelevant, was not going to actually save them. So they started burning up all these books and all these whatever they had, charms, amulets, whatever they had been given. And so it came to a time that there was this trembling amidst the people that were into idol worship, and they started feeling, really, really very insecure. They felt, look, if things continue this way, we're going to be out of business. That's exactly what this man, Demetrius, said in verse number 24. Like I said, this story just highlights the fact that the word of God has survived over those years, not because there were no oppositions. There were serious oppositions, and this is one of them. So there was a gentleman by the name of Demetrius who was a silversmith, and he was a maker. He actually makes a silver shrine. And so he called, an assembly to say, guys, we make our living through this sale of silver shrine, of making idols and selling them to people. And the Bible even says that he makes so much gain, And so he called the craftsmen and said, we need to do something. The way the word of God is spreading, we're going to run out of business in a short while, because now people are no longer buying their products. People are no longer buying the books. People are no longer making the shrine. And we're going to be out of business in a short while. And so that it doesn't seem like it was just self-serving, he had to introduce the fact that, look, and you know that Diana is a great idol. It's a great god or goddess that we have actually worshipped over generations. So it's not just that our own daily bread is being taken away from us, but we're getting the god or the goddess that we have served over the years getting despised, and people are going to ridicule our idols if we allow this to go. And so that was the kind of opposition that came. He said, soon we'll completely be out of business. Soon we're not going to be able to carry out this business. It's not going to be profitable for us. And eventually, people are going to move away, and we're going to, you know, we're just going to be irrelevant, basically. And so he set up this riot. And this riot came, and people were, you know, chanting. And of course, when riots broke out, they had to, you know, take hold of some people who were companions of Paul. One of them was called Gaius, another one Aristarchus, and they took them. Paul was going to actually go, and they took them into a place like an amphitheater, you know, shouting, "Diana is great! Diana is great!" You know, and Paul was actually going to into that place to actually address them, but the other disciples said, no, please don't do this. No, please don't do this. Now, the question is, why this much uproar? Because the word of the Lord was having so great impact. The word of the Lord was having so much great impact. Paul did not have to stop anyone from going to the shrine. He didn't have to block the way, you know, when some of us will riot these days and saying, don't you know God is good? Don't you know that God is the greatest, you know? And then we think in our warped understanding that the way to actually get people to come to God is to block their access to whatsoever thing that they are doing. But that was actually not the approach here. He didn't have to go and campaign against their God. He didn't have to block the road to the place, you know? He didn't have to carry placards and stop people forcefully. No, he didn't have to do any of those. All they needed to do was to just send the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord is potent, powerful, is able to do it on its own without any help from any man, you know. So to cut a long story short, these guys were actually feeling threatened, and so they caused a lot of riot, and then when they got into the place, they started shouting. In fact, at a certain time, the Bible says all of them were shouting, and so there were some of them that didn't even know why they were shouting. You know, that's what the Bible says. Look at what it says. You know, I find that quite very amusing. It says in verse 32, Acts chapter number 19, verse 32, it says, "Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together." I don't know whether you have been part of, you know, of some riots, and then you're saying, "No, we're not going to agree." And then after some time you ask, "So what are we not agreeing on, you know? What's that about, you know?" After a while that you have shouted, you know, I remember that in my uni days, we used to have some of those riots. You know, you just see people trooping out and say, "No, we're not going to allow that to happen." And then you just jump and you say, "No, we're not going to allow that to happen." You had no clue as to what they don't want to allow to happen. That was exactly what happened here. This guy was saying, you know, they were rioting, but they didn't know exactly what they were rioting about. But the point I'm making is this: the riot did not achieve its purpose. Now, what was the purpose of the riot? To stop the spread of the word of God. That was the purpose. The purpose was to stop the spread of the word of God, because the word of God was having impact and it was destroying the business of some powerful people in Ephesus. And they wanted to get rid of that. They wanted to stop that from going on. Because you know how these things work, politics and power, they come into play, and sometimes people actually benefit from, you know, the lack of knowledge or the ignorance of other people. And that's exactly what was taking place at this time. The word of God was actually opening the eyes, the scale, from the eyes of people to see, look, whatever you are holding is just an idol. It's not going to save you. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. So why don't you come to him? And people are saying, I see. And some people felt, look, the more people see, the more we're going to be out of business. Let's do something about it. So that was why they started the riot. And of course, the riot was to stop the gospel from being propagated. But it failed. It failed spectacularly. Why did I say so? Simple. Because between then and now, things have actually moved on. We're still talking about the gospel now, even though this event actually took place 2,000 years ago. Now, they were trying to actually direct the attention of people to stay glued to Diana. But there's nobody talking about Diana now, not even in Ephesus, not in Turkey, as we speak today. So we have seen that this actually failed. The riot failed to achieve the purpose of stopping the spread of the word of God, because the word of God is simply unstoppable. Diana has fizzled out. The only time you come across it is when you read it in the history book. But the gospel keeps going on and on and on. And that's why we're talking about it today. I know your concerns, people of God. You're thinking, and this actually has a very good basis. You look at our society today, especially in the Western world, and you say, oh, I wonder whether this word of God is going to last another 20 years. You know, especially if you have been saved for a while and you have seen things, you know. I wonder whether this is going to survive another 50 years. I wonder whether there will be any churches in Australia or in the Western world, you know, by 2050. That's the concern of some of us, you know, today. Why? Because we look around and we think, oh, it appears things are not working. Things are seriously working against God. Let me say to your heart, I mean, if you've had that thought, they were great thoughts. I believe that is actually a legitimate concern. But let me reassure you that the word of God is not just going to survive another 50 years if Jesus tarries. If Jesus tarries for another 500 years, it will survive and beyond that. You know why? Because at this point in time, it was going to be like, let's snuff the life out of this word of God and let it not be proclaimed any further. 2,000 years down the track, we're still talking about it. As a matter of fact, there are many more people saved now than in their generation. Obviously, the population today is much more than it was then. But we have billions of people who proclaim Jesus as their Lord and their Savior as we speak today. Now, forget about the fact that there are certain sides of it. There are certain issues that may appear like, oh, maybe they don't correctly get this aspect or they don't correctly get that aspect. But there are billions of people around the world who proclaim Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And if that is not happening around us, doesn't mean it's not happening somewhere else in the world. You know, it appears to me, look, that where you actually have the spread of the word of God is actually in the places where you have the most persecution. You know, and that's why sometimes, you know, you are tempted to want to pray for persecution in a place as cozy as ours, because that's exactly what you find. In Asia, in China, obviously in Africa, where you have a lot of people being persecuted, that's exactly where you have the growth of the word of God in a massive form. You know, people getting saved, getting baptized, you know, getting, you know, to know the Lord on a daily basis. And then in the Western world, we're just too comfortable, you know, to do anything about the gospel, unfortunately. But can I say with every sense of confidence that nothing is going to cause the word of God to fizzle out completely? Nothing is good. As a matter of fact, I believe so strongly that the best days of the church and the best days of the spread of the gospel is not behind us, it's actually before us. Why? Because from example of what we have seen that this word of God is unstoppable. It reminds me of the story of a man by the name Voltaire. This guy actually happened to be a French unbeliever, very well popular, very well known in his days and time. In 1778, he proclaimed that in 100 years, Christianity will be completely swept off from existence. That was in 1778. 100 years after, 50 years after his death, they started publishing Bibles. You know from where? From his very home where he had lived. From his very bedroom where he had lived. That's where they were actually publishing lots and lots of Bibles. That was the guy that said in 100 years, Christianity will be not a first, it will be completely wiped out of existence. I'm saying, people of God, that you should be reassured that nothing is going to happen to this word because this word of God is unstoppable. I think the question we should ask ourselves more is, what am I doing about this gospel that I have received to make sure that it goes beyond me, to make sure that it gets to the next person? I think that's probably the question that we should be asking ourselves, and stop bothering yourself about what's going to happen to the gospel and start pitying God. God, I'm so sorry for you, you know. It's just that this generation is much more sophisticated than your word, you know. I'm just so sorry. This word is going to... No, don't feel sorry for God. The Bible says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He has handled it in more difficult situations. When people were being beheaded, the gospel survived it. When people were being drowned, the gospel survived it. When people were being thrown into fire, when they were actually being thrown into boiling oil, the gospel survived it. So the gospel will definitely survive our hair-conditioned generation. Amen. So don't bother yourself. Now, but the question is this. Why is the word of God unstoppable? Why is the word of God unstoppable? But I will ask you a question about that question. Why do I care to know about why the word of God is unstoppable? Why do I care to know about why the word of God is unstoppable? You know, it's good for God. I mean, it's his word. But why do I care to know about it? Simple. You see, the reason why you and I need to know why the word of God is unstoppable is because the unstoppable nature of the word of God robs us the potential, has the ability to actually rub up on our lives. If we actually build our lives around that word. That's why it is important for us to celebrate the unstoppability of the word of God. Because if our decisions, our hopes, our aspirations are built or are based on the word of God, then it simply means that we are unstoppable. That our dreams, our hopes, and our aspirations, the things that we do, they are unstoppable. Why? Because it is built on the word of God that is unstoppable. In other words, the word of God has the ability to rub up on every aspect of our lives that we have decided and chosen to build around the word of God. It's simple. You know, as little kids, you know, the teacher brought some magnets into the class, and then she said, kids, I'm going to teach you how to make more magnets. And we thought she was going to break the magnets. But what she did was she just brought a few metals and gave it to the kids in class and said, just keep rubbing it on the real magnet. You know, just keep rubbing it on the real magnet. And after a while, he said, now stop. He said, use the metal that you have just been rubbing on the magnet and use it to pick up the nails on your table. We thought it was a joke. And then we approached the nails and then, whoo, magic. The metal actually has some power to be able to magnetize and pick up nails. We felt that was cool, you know. Of course, you know as well as I do that after a while, it might actually lose its ability. But the point is this. Once the magnet rubs upon the metal for so long, then it has the ability to be able to magnetize nails exactly the same way. When the word of the Lord rubs so much upon your life, when your decisions are based on the word of God, when you want to make decisions, you search what does the word says about this. It has the ability to impart upon you and upon that aspect of your life the unstoppable nature of the word of God. So that, for instance, if your decisions in your marriage is based on what the word says, then your marriage becomes unstoppable. If your financial decisions are based on what the word of God says, then financially you are unstoppable. If your health situation is based on what the word says, then you are unstoppable. So that's what makes us excited about the unstoppability of the word of God on a personal note. Of course, as a community of faith, there is an aspect of it that also applies to us. So the same way the word of God is unstoppable, your life, your home, your endeavors in life, your career, your business can become unstoppable simply by basing your decisions on the word of God. So, and I go back to the initial question. So why is the word of God unstoppable? Acts chapter number 19, verse 20, NIV translation. Three reasons. Number one, because of its source. Because of its source. Look at what the Bible says. In this way, the word of the Lord. Stop. The word of God is unstoppable because of its source. The source is God. And that's what makes it unstoppable. Because whatsoever proceeded out of God cannot be stopped by any man. The Bible says there is no wisdom, no counsel, no understanding against God. You know, the other time I was many years ago, actually, I was listening to the radio. I think it was BBC or something. And they said that the scientists have found that the world or the universe keeps expanding at a rate that is greater than the speed of light. That was mind-blowing. The speed of light is 3 times 10 raised to power 8. That's about 3,000 kilometers per second. Think about that, per second. Now, when you drive 100 kilometers per hour. Sometimes when you just swerve to the side, you start feeling dizzy. The universe where you are in is actually expanding at a rate of 300,000 kilometers every second. So the last word I said now, this world or this universe has expanded far more than it was a second ago. Why? When the Lord says, let there be, it appears that let there be has continued to be. That word is unstoppable. The creative ability of that word is just unstoppable. That's the way I can understand it. So the word of God is unstoppable because of its source. It comes from God. And that's why whatsoever you build upon the word of God is unstoppable. And that's why I'm challenging you, people of God, build your life upon this word of God. Let your decisions and your hopes and aspirations be an offshoot of what the word of God says. Why? Because that's what gives you the guarantee that you are unstoppable. It's not just because of its source. It's also because it spreads. Why? The Bible says, in this way, the word of the Lord spreads widely. I love that. Spreads widely. That's the nature of the word of God. And that's the nature that gets rubbed on you such that you have become unstoppable. You know, if you've got a bowl or of water and then you decide to drop in a stone, you can go in there and just pick up the stone that you have dropped in there after a while. Or maybe if you've dropped a metal or maybe even a pin or whatever, anything solid that you've dropped in there, you can take it back. Because those things don't spread, you know. But just imagine for a second that you decide to drop, to pour in some dye in there, or maybe even a drop of dye. And then I give you the assignment, just pour in this cup of dye into this large bowl of water. And then after 2 minutes, I say, okay, please, can you go back and gather the dye and, you know, and let the dye be off the water. You ask me, are you okay? You know, why? Because it spreads in all directions. It's not like the stone. The worst news that people will can be told when they come to visit a medical person or maybe their doctors or their specialist is to say, I'm sorry to tell you, ma'am, or I'm sorry to tell you that the cancer has spread. You don't want to hear that. Why? Because it's unstoppable, it's difficult. Once it has spread, then the patient is in difficult trouble, you know, except by the power of God. Why? You don't want it to spread. That's what makes the word of God unstoppable. It's by its very nature, it spreads. It just doesn't stay in a place. If it gets into a place, it starts spreading, you know. Just like when you have a cancer in this place and the doctor will say, let's make sure that it has not spread beyond this region. And so that let's excise it, let's get it out before it spreads. Because once it spreads, then that's a big problem. The word of God spreads widely. And that's what makes it unstoppable. Now, practically, how does that happen in your life? The thing is that the devil actually wants to stop every aspect of your life from experiencing or reflecting the goodness of God, the glory of God. Every aspect of your life, from your spiritual life to your health to your finances to your relationship and everything. That's what the devil wants to do. Now, but what makes your life unstoppable is that while he's working hard to make sure that he stops you from blossoming in the area of your health, he discovers that your finances is thriving. And so he gets confused. He wants to run to the area of your finances and stop that. He sees that your relationships, your career, they are improving. Why? Because you have built all those aspects upon the word of God such that you spread. Every aspect of your life begins to exhibit this spreading nature of the word of God. And that's why a believer who has based his life upon the word of God is simply unstoppable. Because there is no aspect that you want to concentrate on to be able to stop the move and the expression and the exhibition of the presence and the power and the glory of God. So it's not just about the fact that the word of God, like we said, it has its source from God. It's also that it spreads. Number three is also that this word of God has a lot of strength. Or simply put, because of its strength. It's not just because it spreads, it's also because of its strength. Look at what the Bible says. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. And grew in power. So the word of the Lord is not just, does not just have its source from God. It does not just have this nature that it spreads. It's also the fact that it has strength. It has power because of its strength. It has this within it, this prevailing strength that breaks every opposition. And that is why it is important, it's incumbent upon us, people of God, to build our life upon this word of God. So mightily grew the word, the Bible says, and it prevailed. It prevails against every oppression of the enemy. It prevails against every opposition of the evil one. It prevails against all kinds of evil, whether instigated by people or just directly from the pit of hell. It prevails against them. Why? Because of its power. It has this inherent power within it. You know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, whatsoever is born of God, 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Whatsoever is born of God, whatsoever is born of God. Another one says, whatever is born of God. That's not just talking about a person, it's talking about everything, even its endeavors. You know, if your relationship is born of God, it overcomes. If your finances is born of God, it overcomes. If any aspect of your life, if it's born of God, it overcomes. Why? Because it has this nature of the word of God upon which it is built that has this enormous, enormous power. It blasts through every opposition. I'm challenging you, people of God, this morning. Build your life upon the word of God. Let your decisions be based on the word of God. Let your hopes, your aspirations, your thoughts be based on the word of God. Consult with God and find out what he says, and then build your decisions around that. Why? Because that gives you that unstoppable ability, that's unstoppable nature of the word of God into every aspect of your life. That's on a personal note. Let me talk about it at a community level. At a community level, people of God, I want to challenge you to pump out more of the word into your sphere of influence. Ask yourself, how can I get the word out to someone, to my friend, to my family members, to my neighbors, to our community? How can I get it across to my workmate, to my anyone? How can I get it across? Why? Because you only need to let the word loose, and then it does its thing. That was what Paul did here. He didn't have to stop the people, physically stop them from going out and going into the shrine of Artemis or Diana. He didn't have to close the temple door and say no one was going to come in here. He didn't have to deprive them of even having their materials for worship of their idols. He didn't have to do any of those. All he did was he pumped out the word in Ephesus. If you read the previous verses, the Bible says he went into a school called in the house of Tyrannus and he started teaching. He started teaching the disciples for 2 years. And before you knew it, the entire place was filled with the word of God. That's actually the assignment that the Lord has given to you and her at the community level. Let's pump out the word of God. Once the word comes out, then your job is done. Why? Because within the word is the ability to accomplish all of God. Within the word is the ability to accomplish the whole of God. Is just like an egg. When the chicken lays the egg, the chicken's job is done in the sense that it doesn't have to think about, oh, am I going to get the feathers for this little chick? Am I going to get the beak? Am I going to get the bones? Why? Because everything that will make a whole chicken is already in the egg. That's the word of God. Everything that God will accomplish in the life of a person or a community is in the word. Don't forget it. Its source is God. Don't forget, it spreads like wildfire. And never forget that it has enormous strength in it. I'm challenging you, people of God, build your life on the word of God, and you become absolutely unstoppable. Let us pray.